All right. Okay. Let's sort out our space first. All right. Good. Okay. Now, so we talked about last week, really, about what work is and whether work is a blessing or curse. Now, let me ask you the same question. How many believe work is a curse? I put my hand down. How many believe work is neutral? Neutral. It's neither good, neither bad. It's just neutral. There's okay, so a few weren't there. Yeah. How many believe work is good, actually, intended by God for good? Okay, so we've asked our question, like, you know, in an ideal world, is there a work? So we went back to creation. Was there a work? Yes, of course. God is introduced in book of Genesis as a worker. The very act of creation was the part of his work. He was expressing his God character through creation as a work. And he says, like, he's on the seventh day, he rested from his work. Why? Because it was a pure enjoyment for God. It was a pleasure. It was expressing his creativity and who he is, his character, his love, his order in the creation. He was imparting his love into this creation. He's imparting life into creation. That's who he is. Certain order and blessing and goodness were flowing. And God created man in his image. This is before the fall. And put Adam to tend garden, to work. See, the world is created beautiful, but its earth is created beautiful. But earth was never to reach its full potential of beauty and goodness apart from man's involvement. God has buried so much treasures inside the river channels, you know, different, you know, iron ore, copper, aluminum, and all kinds of things God has buried it in. And he tells, you know, over here is a lot of gold, over there is a channel of water, over there is a precious stones and so on. What for? For man to discover and to extend his rule. So work was created by God for our enjoyment as well as our pathway for maturity. By working, by doing things, by, you know, like a little children playing with a Play-Doh, see? They grow up as they play with their hands and things like that. So we were to do that. We were to order our animal kingdom, give them all the names, nomenclature, you know, the thousands. Would have been far more species back then. See, that's work. That's classification. That's scientific work. And then you do the gardening as well. See, this, all that is a work for earth to be brought into full, perfect picture of what God wanted it to be, as well as us becoming like Christ, Son of God, like God. But it wasn't to be done by ourselves. It's for our character development, but only in partnership with God, because God will walk in through the cool of the day and Adam will talk with him. What do we talk about? He will talk about, ask a lot of questions. God, I saw some shiny materials there. How did it come into being? God says, okay, that's iron ore. Okay, how do you extract it? How do you, you know, refine it? How do you make it work? How do we do this? How do we make, you know, how do we help, you know, animals give birth and, you know, put them in its place and all that? And God will have talked with him how to bring earth to fuller. See, Adam was given work even before Eve was introduced. So the work is actually a very important part of our being. That's why I believe, you know, that when man is out of work, it's a lot harder for us to take. It's both, yes, man and woman, we do need work. By the way, I failed to mention last week that, you know, the work that women does at home, that is work. I know my Mia. You know, sometimes you don't get paid, sometimes you don't get pay grade or all that recognition and all that, but there's a lot of work. Bringing up children, this sacrificial love that's imparted into the children. And we really give part of our life and being into our children. What does it do? It really develops motherhood, character. It's God's nature. Sacrificial, self-love, selfless, serving love. So work, God had actually made it. But obviously it was a perfect blend of work and rest and enjoyment. There wasn't a lot of pain in it like now because of the fall. What happened? The ground will bring up thorns and thistles. what you call in scientific term, second law of thermodynamic, entropy of the universe expands. This is a bit about my science background coming out. It means everything, you know, the chaos increases if you leave it on its own. Things break down. Engines break down on its own if you just, you know, your desk become dirty if you don't clean it. You know, all the beautiful things rot and die. There's a corruption inside. It falls apart. It goes into disorder. Useful energy becomes unuseful energy. So we need work to actually bring it back to maintenance level. This is the kind of toil that came with the fall. Things go bad on its own. And a lot of us actually have job. Probably 80% plus will have job because of this law of death that had come into the world. But in the beginning, the work was a beautiful one. You know, that toil and thorns were not there. We have to now compete with the soil that will bring up thorns and thistles. And, you know, you have to dig deep into the ground to make things work. And it was almost like, you know, Adam enjoying work so much, imparting his life into things, was going to eventually take his life. You know, he's digging his own grave, so to speak. God says, you came from the dust, to the dust you will return. With toil you will eat. Hard work and sweat, you will be able to have enough for yourself. That's what came in. And then work also lost its meaning because of the fall. It became meaningless. You know, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. All the work I've done, after I'm gone, who's going to inherit it? It's all going to fall apart and somebody else going to... But whether that person will make anything really worthy of what I've done, I don't know. I find no meaning in it. See? It became meaningless and it became our identity. We derive our who we are from the job we do. In the beginning, before the fall, Adam was called the son of God, number one. Secondly, he was a gardener. But he lost that status of being the son of God. Therefore, he was defined as a gardener, and often we define ourselves. We define others by the job they do, and we attach value in there. And we know it's not right, but we don't know how else to do it, right? People are more than what they do. You are more than your pay grade. You are more than, you know, how much money you get. You're more than what kind of work you do, how many people you have under you, or what company size you run. We are all more than that. But we struggle because we've lost that identity and we derive our identity by that work, and then we measure the success from this work. So there's a lot of hang up now with the work. And instead of joy driving us to work, what is driving us to work is now the fear of lack that's driving us. Can that be changed? Should that be changed? Can we? Yes, because we redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can we redeem our work to make it meaningful again? Instead of deriving our identity from the things that we do, it becomes a very vehicle of who we are in Christ. Can we? Can we change all that? Can we bring the blessing of God into the work so that instead of just getting real hard, being driven by fear of lack, that we do enjoy and have confidence in the abundance of God, and that we give of ourselves in the work, in the expressing our nature, Christ's nature through us. Can we? How much can we expect to redeem our work for God? I think we need to have actual understanding of, you know, obviously there is a good part of the job. Last week, as I asked, how many of you really enjoy your work? I think a few hands went up. I know that some really enjoy. That's a real blessing because you spend so much of your time at work. Some really do enjoy, but there are probably about half or plus who may say, like, you know, I'm really tired. I want a new job or something like that. Quite a number. And at different phase, we go through different things. And I'm sure everybody knows that there is a good part in our job, bad part in our job. We can redeem it, but bear in mind that we're still living in a fallen world. The law of death and sin has not reversed in the world. So we are still in a hostile world, and, you know, most of all, human nature hasn't changed. When you go out there, you're not working with the saints from above. People from below are the people that we work with, people who, you know, cut and cheat and, you know, they're ambitious and they stab you and all kinds of things happen, right? There's all kinds of challenges. So, but can we? So I don't want to draw a picture where you, okay, now I understand what the work is. Now I want perfect job in Jesus' name. I don't want any bad job. Just good job. I just want to enjoy it and float. Okay. May the Lord bless you. Anyway, but we are living in the real world. We can redeem it by changing us. Changing us. That place doesn't change. We change and we bring that change into our work. That's how it's going to work. God works from inside out by re-educating us, changing us, empowering us by the Spirit. Amen? So, do you find connection? See, one of the important things I was driving at last week is this divide, you know, divide between secular and sacred. If you're a missionary or a pastor, if you're doing things, you're teaching, preaching, you're singing, it's good. If you're after there, you know, but your day-to-day work, 40 hours. Nowadays, it sort of, you know, they fire people or people let go, they don't replace them quickly. So 40 hours becomes like 45 hours and so on. You find it meaningless. It's kind of, you know, just there to make money. It really loses meaning. So can we see that as something that is holy and sacred? Are all works equal before God? Can we make common work holy before God? Can we? I think that's, okay, so how do we redeem it? I believe, number one, we dedicate it to God. It's an act of dedication. When you read the book of Leviticus, it really deals with three levels of things: holy, clean, and unclean. You will see the pattern throughout Old Testament. And there are things that are defiled, and what is holy must never come in contact with what is defiled. You have to separate that out. Otherwise, it's an abomination. But how do we do in our life? You know, you go and eat. Okay, then maybe it's not sin, it's good. But is that holy? If you're just eating to yourself, it's just common, normal. You know, surfing the net, drinking coffee, which I do a lot, all that can just be common. It's neither clean nor holy. But when you dedicate it to God, it's no longer common, it becomes holy. And whatever you brought before God, bring it before the altar, and then it'll go up to God, and God received it. The moment you dedicate it to God, it becomes holy. What does the Bible say? It's in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In view of God's mercy, God, Jesus had done everything for us. He bled, he died, he worked the salvation, he gave us faith even to believe. And we become God's children. Now, there is one right response, only one logical response that Christians will give, that is a rightful or reasonable act of worship or act of serving. What is it? Offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. We sacrifice our body. We offer it on the altar saying, Lord, this is my body, this is my life. I put it on the altar. What happens when you put it on the altar? It actually, fire comes underneath, right? And you go up in smoke. There's nothing left. But God receives it. See, when it burns and mystified, so to speak, goes up in smoke into heaven, God's received it. It has permanently passed from your hand to his hand. You can't take it back. It becomes holy. That offering, God received it. That was the transaction of the altar. But now in the New Testament, God is saying, okay, it's your body. You offer it just the same way, but you don't kill it. You still live in it. But you live in it as if your body has passed from yours to mine. The same thing. See, when you look at Exodus and so on, Old Testament, all the vessels, all the things were dedicated and anointed. It's not just my body, my things that you do, your workspace, your home, things that you do. You know, your pen, your computer, keyboard, all that, you can dedicate it to God. It's an act of dedication. Lord, I want to do it for you. I dedicate this space for you. Now, Ruth Bell Graham, who went to be home with the Lord, she's actually written on the kitchen sink, divine service held 3 times a day. whenever she washes dishes. It's a divine service. Divine service, absolutely. It's holy. Why? Because she is doing it to God. She's offered it to God. Our job, I remember before I married Mia, she used to be a computer programmer. She's saying, you know, every morning before I go to work, she on the train, she reads the Bible. She, you know, Lord, every keystroke I program, I want to do it unto you. I really have to learn to worship. That really inspired me. I was a chemical engineer. I just, you know, wanted to get a lot of job. I would do a lot of work. I would just progress quick. And then get better money. But Mia had an understanding already, saying, look, I 40 hours plus I spent here. I don't want to waste it. I want God to receive it. It was pretty clear intention. Every morning, she would go with that attitude. And praise God, I mean, you know, okay, maybe I'll get another brownie point. All right. Christians, nothing in life, in your life, should be secular. Do you agree? Nothing in your life should be secular and to be discarded. Unless your job is immoral in nature, then you're better without your job, unless there is other choice. Unless it is immoral or illegal, you can dedicate it to God. So if your job is drug dealer, you can't dedicate that job to God. Right? If you're running a nightclub, you know what? Lord, I want to do it for you. See, what is unholy and what is holy, you cannot mix it, see? But you've got to dedicate it to God. It becomes holy. God gets involved. God's spirit can invade your space. Okay, now, what about, it's just really short in time. I haven't hardly started. Money issue. Let's talk about money. Honestly, I mean, who doesn't want less money? Who wants less money? We all, right? That's why some people work really hard, right? I mean, you know, just set people up for the best paying job and all that. I mean, I understand it. I mean, you know, if you can manage it, it'll be a blessing to you. If you're not held by it, it'll be a blessing to you. But there is a very real, you know, remuneration. I used to say, everybody say remuneration, because it's so easy to say remuneration. You go, somebody corrected me. What are you saying again? Remuneration. English is really funny. It's money that you get for the job you do. It's a very, very righteous thing. It's a holy thing, again. And it's a good thing that people do want to get paid for the honest and good job that they do. In fact, they should, yes. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. I wonder whether how many, before you turn, how many have this kind of ambition? 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. It says, this is Paul saying, in fact, Paul speaks this word, ambition. So are you an ambitious person? How many are ambitious? It's good. It's okay if you're ambitious for the right thing. There's only 3 ambition used in the New Testament, right? This is number 3, or I'll say number 1. Let's read together, 11 and 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, mind your own beeswax. Okay, not that sort of meaning, but mind your own business and work with your own hands. What is it? To work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may work properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Is that a good ambition? The word there is an ambition. It's a philo. Timaomai means it's an honor. It's a loving, that honor. It's like, you know, you have an ambition. First time it's used, Romans 15:20. It says, so that I make it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. This is a missionary zeal. It's an ambition. I want to take Christ where he's not mentioned. Paul's ambition number 1. Paul's ambition number 2. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, or alive or dead, to be well-pleasing to him. That's his ambition. I want to please God, whether I'm dead, I'm here, whether I'm ministering, or whatever. I want to please God. That's my ambition. It's a good ambition to have. Ambition number 3. Make it your, I like the New American, he says, you know, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hands. To be, you know, not dependent on anybody, but your own hands provide for you. So that you can provide for you, your own family, and also bless others. Behave towards, you know, outsiders properly. That's a good ambition. Live a quiet life. How many want that ambition? I read through this many, many, many times when I was young, and I go, I like that. That's my ambition. Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be truly effective. I want to please God, but I want a quiet life, if possible, please. And I don't want to beg, you know. I want to provide for myself and to my family. And this is something that is holy, especially for the role of a husband and a father for a family. 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied faith, is worse than an unbeliever. That's a pretty harsh word. Because there may be a lot of people, like, you know, just going around house to house. I'm going to live by faith. Or they were busybodies, what you call. They're doing a lot of ministry by, you know, slandering others and all kinds of things. And Paul says, look, beware. Don't put anybody in that list unless their life is holy, unless they're truly over 60, unless truly dedicated and so on. But everybody, you support yourself and support your family. Make it your aim. And so that you have left over to give for others. This is loving yourself, loving your family from the produce, from the return of the work. And it's a biblical thing. We shouldn't do everything for, you know, just because I think it's a good ambition, isn't it? Don't have to be really rich. That's not your ambition. It's not saying be really rich, richer than everybody else. No, no, no. Just be able to support yourself. That's a good thing. Now, challenge for the, this is hard now. Supporting ourselves is hard, especially for, you know, industrial revolution favored men with muscle, the work with machine. And now we have information revolution, technological revolution. I think it favors women. So men are still left with this kind of responsibility, but it's like there's less job to go around for men. It's hard because they favor, like, you know, Mia is really good at typing fast and all the documentation. I can't really compete with her. I mean, you know, if he's doing something with muscle and so on, of course, I'll be much better. It's a challenge of our age. But when men are out of work, it is actually quite destructive. There is an inner destruction. I think that we need to pray, support one another through prayer and faith. We really have to, you know, just pray and get men back into employment. Those who are able. If you are sick, if you're, you know, there's many reasons, some reasons. You can't, that's fine. It's not talking about that, but it's talking about people who are able, fully able, but surfing their life again, away. Surfing their life away, it's not good. It's not I don't think that really honors God. And then we love our neighbor. Oh, I don't think I can go through. We love our neighbor. You know what? Let me just cover just one more point, because you do want to discuss something new material as well, right? Just one more point, and then I'll have to stop. We honor our neighbor by love our neighbor by having enough for our first and also have something left over to give. This is a very fundamental, basic Christian faith. Is that Christians, we have concern for the poor, and then not, you know, Christianity is not all about having power to self, having gain as much as I can so I can spend as much as I can. No. The spirit is about sacrifice and contentment, learning self-control and management. And our work, the work of our hands, and we have something to give to others. It doesn't have to be a lot. It's not like, you know, giving competition. It's not. But I believe every Christian, see, tithe, principle of tithing giving and helping the weak and the poor must be very basic to our Christian faith. And it's an expression. See, you're not only working for money. As it doesn't matter how much money you get. If you're only working for money, it demeans you. It really demeans you. You're a slave to get something. But if it is an expression of your love, your service for fellow men and Christ's character, it means something. You know, it means something. When you drive somebody, you're taking someone A to B. They are using your service. Without you, well, you know, there will be a big problem. If you're cleaning, because you're cleaning, you know, people can live in clean condition. And the business and all that can really do well. If you're a construction worker, somebody will live there. So it's a labor of your love. You're giving something back into society. And Colossians 3:23, 24, it says, whatever you do, do heartedly as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance for your service. You are serving the Lord God. Again, what is it? Is he saying only in ministry God will receive? Only if you evangelize now. Let's do that too. Only when you do spiritual activity, quote unquote, that there will be a reward for you. But if you are working, you're driving, you're cleaning, you know, you are typing, you are doing all these other things, it doesn't mean God receives you, is it? No. God says all your labor, you do it unto the Lord, God will reward you. There is a reward of faithfulness. I think I'll stop here because I haven't really gone through, so I'll stop here. But Peter, would you like to just come up quickly? I wanted actually Peter to share something about his experience, maybe 2-3 minutes quickly, and then we're going to break into a small group.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? The other day we had Bible study, and I think Psalm 27 or 37, and there was something about swearing. So I just shared it with the Bible study group, and so Pastor wanted me to come and share it with you all as well. So what I noticed was that, in our workplace, a lot of people swear all the time. And about 5 years ago, there was a team member who joined, and he was swearing like anything. And I got really annoyed or whatever, sort of didn't like it anyway. And about one year ago, I think Amanti was, my wife was telling me, when you go to office, start praying on the chairs of other people and stuff like that who are not saved. I think it was told that they come, Lord Jesus, or whatever. So I started praying in the office. And when I go into the office, I say the Psalm 91, which I have memorized. And I have a bottle of oil in my car also. So I take a bit of oil and then I put on my head before I go into the thing. So, and sometimes I take a bit of oil and then apply on the walls, lightly on the thing, and I pray. the other day I was sharing, like I said, and what I suddenly said, realized was that about a year ago, that team member left, and then the swearing went down a lot. And since then, basically, I noticed that in my office, like hardly anybody swearing. So, I think that God is working something, and actually also my team members, I think, also asking me a lot of questions about Jesus, and especially on the Resurrection Sunday, what happened and things like that. So, Pastor, I want to share it with you that, when you pray in the office and the environment can change. So, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. All right. I know a lot of you have testimonies you can share. Let's share. We'll break into small group. Thank you. Do you want me to take them out separately or stay here? Should I?
take you out or just stay here? The Pia says. Okay. Thank you, Brian. 힘들어 가지고. 홈스리 카운트를 들으면요. 매니저가 다른 사람을 이렇게 매니저하고 잘해주는 사람인데 높은 사람인데 그거를 도와주는 사람인데 이 사람이 잘 못했다 생각해가지고 이 사람이 크리스탈이라고 미디어에서 떨어져 나갔어요. 저를 잊어버렸어요. 하도 욕을 먹어가지고 예. 자살까지가 너무 자책감에 자살을 했어요.
Yeah, being salt and light in the place that you are in, you're going beyond just the job, but you're bringing Christian life. Yeah.
일하는데 쉽진 않다고 예, 아주 다 인정은 하진 않고 호주 A6라고 가버먼트 그런 가버먼트 기업인 것 같아요. 근데 한 번씩 가다가 이렇게 좀 그 사람들 그
퍼스널리티 이런 거 걸리는 것 때문에 쉽지는 않다고. 누가 문제 있으면 전화하고 그러는데 그런 쪽이니까 상당히 좀 폭식이죠, 그죠? 네. 네. 컴플레인 받는 거 좋잖아, 그렇게. 예. 예. 웃음, 웃음. Yes, yes. 에리카, 티샤. 에리카는. 몰랐어요, 그렇게까지는. 디스턴스, 네. 경찰이었죠. 한국의 경찰이었어요. 폴리틱.
폴리틱
안에 있었어요. 네. 35년자 같아요. 말레이시아에서. 금년 퇴장은 모르겠는데. Good job, work, divine work. Yeah. Just for info, yeah, David was into, I guess, more political, I think, work in Korea. Yeah. It's a bit hard to talk about, I guess. Yeah, yeah. You gotta share it.
Yeah.
Okay. Powerful. Yeah, the other word. All legal drugs, yeah. Hanabin, all the, yeah, good. Good. McLean toothpaste, triple stripe. Right there, I set it up and also helped out in Japan to set up their plant. I was technical support to do that. And anyway, yeah, I think one struggle I had when I was quite young, as in the workforce, like in my early 20s, so I joined up this company, you know, Smith Klein Beach, and now it's a Smith Klein Winthrop or something like that. And I was in very good relationship with everybody, but I tend to actually give a little extra. I used to go a little extra. There are things to be done. Then I do my job. I get other things done and so on. I think somehow, some way, I think guy who started before me, I've learned from him a little bit. Somehow, he began to be a little weird, like, you know, he would treat me in a funny way, he would, you know, not talk back, or quite kind of getting ruder and ruder. When I asked for something, he would actually, you know, like a monograph or something like that, he would take it. That's kind of, you know, and something like that, you know, it's a problem, I don't want to. So one day I said, did I do something wrong, you know? And then he said, no, you're fine. No, I'm just, you know, you're my buddy and all that. And then he would still treat me quite rudely. I told him I'm a Christian and all that, probably spiritual, and he was struggling. And I was praying, Lord, what do I do? Like, you know, I was so frustrated because I worked closely with him. I had to search the scripture. Do I have to forgive? Do I actually have to forgive? Is there a way out? And I would just look for a way out for... How do I, like, you know, does he have to say sorry for me to forgive? Am I going to fight? What am I going to do? So I was praying and I came across that Peter said, you bless, and then, you know, Romans, bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. In that way, you're going to heap up coal on their head. So I began to, okay, let's do this. I was praying for him and not trying to really keep fire, but I was praying for him, blessing him, really struggling. I mean, you knew I was struggling. I come home, I look really struggling, terrible, because there's a lot of internal struggle. Very soon, he will make all kinds of mistakes. I don't know. He's a very competent person. He makes mistakes, and he will make silly mistakes. So I'll come back in the afternoon. I'll fix things up for him. Hey, you did this. I let you know. And his attitude began to change a bit. And then he kept beginning to make some basic mistakes. He was actually getting into trouble with the boss. The boss told me, so what do you think? I actually went to see, look, I think he's going through, he's having a lot of personal issues, so you should actually help him to take some time off and all this. And don't fire him, don't discipline him. I think he's struggling, he needs some help. So then she listened to me. So actually gave him some letter. Within about 1 or 2 months, something happened. It's like God promoted, put me right on up. I was actually promoted out of our office into a whole new area. And I thought, oh, this is how God has blessed me. And then, unfortunately, another 2 months, I think things didn't go well. So he had to, I think he resigned and left to, you know, move to another city or something like that. But it's very interesting how it just out of nowhere God pushed me up here. So that's a little, God does protect us and bless us. Yeah, and then you can translate. It's a 20
20th year since they came to Australia. So in Korea, it was quite easy, but it's quite hard. Yeah, here it was. Yeah. He went through the changes of three government change in Korea, three different presidents, that's 12 years. Is that 5 years, 한국은? 4 years인가요? 5 years인가요? 한국이 5년인가요? 5 years, yes. So 15 years, yes, yes. This party was in a political party, yes. Secretary or general manager. When he was younger, he was in the army. What do you call it? Army, yeah, reserve, military. Yeah, sort of sounds pretty high up. Sounds pretty important. Yeah. Pretty rough. Yeah, going through. They suffered a lot for the last 20 years because they, you know, used to move along, I guess, you know, MPs of Korea. Yeah, so life was quite good, and since they came, it's been so hard, so they cry a lot, and they, you know, wonder they should go back to Korea a lot, because their life here is quite different. There's no, I guess, you know, strong connection here, so that made them to really depend on God, and then because of the two children there, lives are established here, that they decided to stay, and now they're very thankful that God had actually taken them out over here to really depend on God, grow spiritually, and they're also thankful to be in this church community. They feel, you know, very much thankful and loved, and yeah, so they're happy now. Yeah, yeah. I'll just announce that they can finish anytime they want here at per group.
Anytime you want, just official, you know, time is gone, but continue to fellowship. It's per table. When you're done, you can leave or have coffee. Thank you.
Because you spoke English in Malaysia, whereas we are Malaysian and 영어를 하니까. Is it because of UK, like, you know, Great Britain has some influence that you pick up English, you speak English over there? Is it because of the English is a second language? Yeah, no problem. I don't know any Malaysian who has a problem with English. What about? So that's really good. It's a blessing. Koreans and Japanese are terrible when they come over. Yeah, we are terrible. We are worse. After 30 years. So she would say something, but it's different. She would just say. want to sit down? 여기 앉으세요, 원사님.
We're gonna pray. Let's dedicate our. I mean, doesn't have to be anything we do, even at home. Molly is doing a lot of ministry and work at home. That's a work. Dedicate. Yeah. 기도하고 이번에 기도하고 끝낼게요. 기도하고 끝낼게요. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's hold hands. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You called us to be your children, to be the light and salt in this world. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give through work. And we can provide for ourselves and we can bless others. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We just bring our work, whether it's paid or unpaid, we bring it before you, Lord, and we dedicate it to you, Lord. And then, your Lord, that you will anoint our work with your presence and power. That whatever we do, Lord, it will be a divine service to you, Lord. We will serve you. We will serve our Lord God, with the things that we do Monday to Friday. Lord, every part of it be holy unto you. Give us strength, Lord. Give us joy to rejoice in the times of difficulty. And also, Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, to do our work with spirit of excellence. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yes, yes. 몇 킬로인가요 지금 변호사님?
네?
몇 킬로나 돼요 이제?
3 킬로 넘어가기 시작해요.
오늘
잘 먹으니까
너무
잘
먹어. 딱신 형제는 잘 입고 안경도 아직 있어요.
오늘 출근해서 요즘 손님들이 많아가지고
쉬는
날도
있구나. 할 일이 있는 게 감사한 거죠, 그죠? 건강하고, 같은 형제는 건강하고.
근데 여기는 좀 아주 특별히 있는 것 같더라고.
그래요? 너무 고단하면은.
난 잘 놀았어.
뭐하고 놀았니? 응? 어때요? 여기 교인 하시니까는 괜찮으세요?
예.
장로님 괜찮으신가? 마음이.
예.
우리 자매도. 재키는 어떻게 요즘에 좀 안 보이네?
요즘 뭐 학교 공부하는 것 때문에.
예. 그러게 얘기 들었어요. 예. 또 뭐 트레이닝 한다고 병원 가가지고.
이런 병당에서는 이거 당원들 정식 이제 뿌린 토이라고 그래 뿌린 토이.
예, 예.
이런 걸 계속 하고 하거든요.
예, 예. 예. 됐어.
괜찮아요.
한창 있을 때 말하고 막 뭐든지 다 가는 길이고 그러겠네 이제.
예, 올라가겠죠.
나에게는 오늘 아파가지고 처음으로 기회를 믿지 않겠어요.